Well, hello everybody out there in music video land, and welcome to another episode of our Thursday night broadcast of the Music Video Land podcast live at imvdb.com/live if you're listening live, or just via your whatever you listen to podcasts from past this date. We're recording this on September 26, 2013. My name is Adam Farrell. I am a co-founder of imvdb.com. And with me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger, who is also a co-founder of imvdb.com. Doug, how are you, and how does it feel to be a co-founder of imvdb.com?
Oh, man, both feel super good. I feel it in my bones how good it feels. My bones.
Why your and, bones?
My bones, I feel it.
And we are also joined by Mr. Adam Alexander of Fringe Music Fix, the music video Facebook community, plus more, that finds all of our best videos. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing good again.
That is good. And we are coming off, it's a little bit more of a low-key week in terms of music videos, but it was still a really good one.
Yeah, it was a great week. It was a super great week, I think. Every week that they continue to put out music videos, it's a good week, and they did it again this time. So I'm glad for that.
We're saying they like it's some sort of group.
It is. It's the music video community.
That's true. I'm continually amazed by the amount of music videos that come out every single day. I'm just looking at the chart for this week, or the daily numbers for this week. Let's see. There's at least like 12 that we have on the site, and like Tuesday, September 24th. I think there's like 24 music videos that came out day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's people still make them. We're happy about that, and they come out a lot, and they continue to generate lots and lots of views too. Those views don't go away.
No, they don't. They're logged in our system and on YouTube and Vevo and Vimeo, etc.
So what was the biggest video this week? The biggest video this week was 23. Was it Buzzy? Did 23 create a big buzz? Were you guys buzzing for Mike Will made it 23?
Was it Buzzy?
Some late buzz. It had some late buzz, I think.
A little bit later a buzz. I was stoked about it because all week Mike Will was like, all month he was like, 23 is coming out on the 23rd, everyone check it out. He even had like a 35 character hashtag that was like, Mike Will made it 23, coming out on the 23rd, you guys come watch it. That was the hashtag. And it ended up coming out on the 24th, which is cool.
Yeah, you did not want to be searching for that hashtag on like 1 a.m. on the on the 24th, because everybody was like, "I want to go to bed. When's this like goddamn music video gonna come out?"
And he was being so coy about it. He was like, "Good things come to those who wait" on Twitter and stuff.
It's but you funny. Know, he was so pissed. I mean, we've not to give anything away, but we've like sort of witnessed like what happens, because when you upload a music video, it seems like this such like official thing, but a lot of times it's just like somebody on a laptop in some random location, like Starbucks, like uploading video. Not that it's like that this time.
Well, yeah, Vevo, there's a lot of hands involved. Like the label gives it to Vevo, and there's like a time schedule. But like, who knows? Like, somebody fucked up for that not to work out, though. That was a thing. That was a thing, and it was supposed to come out. But despite that, it's still gonna be over 13 million views tomorrow for sure. It'll be over 13 million views in like a couple of hours, which any other week, like that's like what Katy Perry Roar had in the first week. So like Mike Will made it, despite being a pretty popular producer, or producer of a lot of popular tracks. Like he himself is not like at Katy Perry's level. So obviously this is once again a testament to the abilities of Miley Cyrus to generate popularity of pop music. She is obviously a part of this song. If we have Mike Will Made It 23 featuring Miley Cyrus, Wiz Khalifa, and Juicy J, directed by Hannah Lux Davis, that's the video we're talking about. We didn't really set it up too much.
Yeah, Hannah Lux Davis is coming off kind of a string of girl group videos. Let me just look at her history here, because she had the video for, well, she has two videos on the chart this week. She has "Marry Me" by Jason Derulo.
Yeah, it's tough to say Hannah Lux Davis is coming off of any one thing, because she's been
insane. Well, I'm not saying coming off of, but a few of her last few videos have been like "Miss Moving On" by Fifth Harmony, "Vacation" by GRL. So, this is
she's definitely done them.
Yeah, but this video obviously is, this was filmed the day after the MTV VMAs, where Miley Cyrus made a lot of news, so she's just coming off that, and the foam finger, I don't know if it's, is it the same foam finger? I think it might be.
Yeah, I think it's the foam finger. Yeah,
it is the foam finger.
The foam finger.
You guys both sound really sure.
Oh, yeah, we're sure. I mean, it's they like their Instagram pictures on our website that we're broadcasting this from, and like the tag is like the foam finger, and it's like a Wiz Khalifa picture or something. I don't know.
I think the burning question about 23 though is, are people getting a little bit, are they laying off of Miley right now, or is she just not as controversial in this video because there wasn't the whole hype as much.
That's a good question. I think Miley definitely has an actual, like, she's got a huge fan base who really loves her too. And so, like, even if people like in the media and the general public are like giving her a lot of trouble for some of her stuff, like, she's definitely got a fan base, like a 12 million member fan base probably, who is going to love everything she does anyway. And so, but I do think, and I think part of this has to do with Hannah Lux Davis directing this video, is, you know, it's it, it, she definitely, Miley is definitely tamer in this video, but it like how she looks is very similar to kind of the way that Hannah Lux Davis has treated other female artists in the past in her videos, I feel like. And, you know, it's got a lot of style, and it's definitely got some sex appeal there from Miley, but it's I think it's a lot more tastefully done probably than that than the wrecking ball one, where she's completely naked on a wrecking ball. I mean, it's pretty obvious that there's a distinction there.
I mean, we could get into, you know, the ideas of like the male gaze or something like that, but that gets into like little, you know, auteur theory based on who's a director. I don't think it goes that far, but it's definitely a different view of her.
Sure. Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily like a male female thing, but I think if you just look at the work of Hannah Lux Davis versus the work of Terry Richardson, you know, Terry Richardson is notorious for like having naked girls.
We're well aware of your opinions of Terry Richardson.
No, I'm just saying he has naked women in his stuff a lot. Like, that's what he does. And on the other hand, like, Hannah Lux Davis is known to kind of, you know, like, there are like a lot of very unique elements about this video that I feel like are part of her touch, like the Bulls jersey that's turned into a dress. Like, the style of the video is very obvious, that there was time taken to that, like the style that people were wearing. And in the wrecking ball video, she isn't wearing anything, so how could there even have that touch to it? And so
and there definitely is a lot of, I don't know, for some directors, I feel like they have a recognizable style, but if you asked us to describe it, I don't think we could. But it feels like a Hannah Lux Davis video for some reason.
Chris Black, he goes by the Black on Twitter, actually, was able to, he was able to describe it in his own way, and he said that Hannah Lux Davis's videos are so clean I could do a line of coke off them. And I think that's a pretty good description of her work. Her videos are very clean. I've never done a line of coke off anything, so I can't speak on that. But if you look in the show notes, we will link to that tweet. It's a great one.
Hold on, make a note of that here. Excuse me.
Are you making notes by chiseling it into something?
Yeah, I'm chiseling it into something. The Black tweet, okay. And so
that's a great video.
Well, hold on. I want to mention that so Miley Cyrus has a different, very different, like, vocal inflection in 23. Obviously, like, Wrecking Ball is Wrecking Ball could be on like adult contemporary radio, let's face it. I mean, it's a very straightforward. I almost feel like Celine Dion could have done that song.
You gotta disagree. I like that song a lot, actually. I
I
think it's
like
really
it,
good.
but I don't you can you see like Celine Dion or someone like belting that out?
Well,
Potentially.
ruining it, maybe.
Have you seen the Haim version? Haim did one this week.
Really?
Yeah, I heard the cover. It was interesting. I really liked the instrumentation part of
Yeah,
it.
definitely. Yeah. It was interesting. I enjoyed it. I think I like it better than the Cyrus version. But so here's one thing we completely avoided, and we and or not avoided, but haven't brought up that Miley's rapping in this video,
Right. Oh, sorry. Were you gonna say something, Adam?
and well, it seemed like that was what you were kind of getting at, too, right? With her vocal inflection and also the fact that she's rapping.
Right, but I find that there's a lot of parallels between her and one of our favorite female rappers, Brooke Candy, who is definitely more like sexually explicit. If you're not familiar with Brooke Candy's work, let me just look up her some of her song titles, because she's very similar to like
Dastly.
early Iggy Azalea in that way. She's Pussy
In the
Make the Rules. Is that one?
Yeah, Pussy Make the Rules, but I think if you're gonna like direct someone to a Brooke Candy video that's gonna like let you know what she's about, you gotta go to the Matthew Bowman directed Das Me. That's the one to
Oh yeah,
watch.
that's the canonical one, really.
Right.
But
So you're saying there's some parallels to Miley Cyrus and Brooke Candy? I'd love
in the
to.
attitude and the inflection, obviously not in the style. Brooke Candy is she's she, Brooke Candy actually makes an appearance in Grimes' video for you can see how bad my memory
Genesis.
is. Genesis, right? Thank you. And that's an example of her style. It's like ridiculous out there. But I can just the attitude and the general aura she's giving off is trending toward a Brooke Candy, which I think is interesting.
Well, she is definitely like she's talking about like smoking perp and like all this
Yeah,
stuff
exactly. Yeah,
in the
there's like
song. Like
stuff that
those
Brooke
are the
hated.
lyrics. Like and so in that, like and like you can tell that these, well, I guess you can't tell. I don't really know who's writing what, but like hearing Miley Cyrus say smoking perp, to me, it
Smoking
seems
perp.
foreign. I'm not saying she doesn't pull it off, but I was not prepared for it prior to hearing the
She
song.
actually, in the recorded version, she does drop the F bomb at least once.
Yes.
Did that happen in the video? I thought that might be a shocking moment for the
I
Miley,
just
the Hannah Montana moms might not like that.
I really can't recall. I was more drawn to the smoking perp thing, but the fact that she like she but like that's a rumor about her too. Like in Andy Milonakis's I guess it's not a rumor. There's like photographs of her smoking weed on other websites, but like and Andy Milonakis in his AMA on Reddit, they were like, "What do you think of Miley?" And he's like, "She's great. I smoke weed with her." And so I guess it shouldn't be foreign then. I was still ill prepared.
And she doesn't say smoking perp. She says smoking perp like that.
Was
I'm pretty
good.
good. You guys, one day I'll bust out my Kendrick Lamar impression. Not tonight.
And do you have an ASAP Rocky impression? That would be
No,
dope.
ASAP Rocky just sounds so. It's like anybody else to me. I don't know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I don't know about that. Man.
But Kendrick Lamar, I feel I can do a I'm.
Jay Pharoah does one now.
Oh, he does? Wow, I'm
Yeah.
looking forward to that.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he does like he had like a conversation between Jay-Z and Kendrick Lamar. I mean, he more does like a he more does him rapping, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he does Jay-Z talking and he more does like Kendrick Lamar rapping. So it's
I'm
good.
intrigued by this. I want to hear this impression. I'm intrigued. Let's
Well,
have it.
I can't bust it tonight. I gotta let it simmer a bit.
No, yeah, wait till we have a bigger audience for these live shows, and then we can put them on the spot. So I think we've I think we spent 17 minutes on one video. I think there are other videos came out this week. Why don't we push on to the next most popular video of the week? Is that at almost 13 million views is the most popular video of this week, will be.
Yeah, but do we need to go down to the most popular? Maybe we can do a few of the ones that we enjoyed.
Well, okay, why don't we stick to the list? Because even number two is one that I enjoyed. Did
That's
you?
right, you did pick this. This was Zed Stay the Night, directed by Daniel Cloud Campos. Tell me about this video, or us about this video.
Well, It's a great one. It's got it. It is directed by Daniel Kleiner-Campos, and it features him heavily in the video. It kind of shows like a couple, kind of what appears to be kind of at the end of a relationship. They're kind of and it's this idea is kind of displayed through dance, and they're kind of dancing with one another, kind of slipping out of each other's grasps and stuff. And that's kind of the what kind of pushes the narrative. Daniel Kleiner-Campos is a dancer. I don't know anything about dancing, so I'm not going to like try to use words. If he's like a b-boy or something cool, he's probably that.
Does he have a b-boy stance?
He probably does. He's got some cool stuff out there. Like, I've seen it. I just don't know what to call anything. So, but yeah, he and let me get her name because I took some time to find it. Jessica Lee Keller plays the female in the video, and in real life she also plays a female. They're dancing in this video, and
she's good.
Yeah, she's great at that. They play the couple in the video. It's super good. You guys saw it too, so why are you guys making me do all the talking?
Because you said you liked it. You're the one who picked it.
I loved it, actually. It was my favorite of the bigger releases this week. It's really good. I really like the colors, and it was cool. The editing was cool. The fast-paced cuts, and I liked it a lot.
Wait, had any of you, either of you heard of Zedd before this week? I had not.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They're quite big in the EDM world.
And we've picked another Zedd video as a staff pick before.
Okay. I had not. And I was kind of surprised to see this at number two because I was not familiar with it.
But you know Hayley Williams.
I know Hayley Williams, yeah.
Okay. So that accounts for some of the popularity as well. So Zedd's pretty big, and then we've got Hayley Williams of Paramore. So, yeah, it makes sense. He's like an
EDM artist, right? Something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, he's big, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So... but yeah, another great Zedd video is Clarity, directed by Jodib from earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
We also snap picked. But another thing I should mention, which is really interesting, is that this video was choreographed by Tamara Levinson-Campos, who is Daniel Kleiner-Campos' wife. And so it's very interesting that she choreographed a video of her husband in a tremorialist relationship. That's not a word.
Tamorialis, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we should mention that, Daniel Kleiner-Campos and, what's her name?
Tamara Levinson-Campos or Jessica Lee Keller?
Yeah, Jessica Lee Keller / Tamara Levinson-Campos have worked together frequently in the past. Another one that features just her that was directed by both of them is Cloudfront by Laura Welsh, who also had a video that came out this week. But anyway, I digress.
You a little bit, but that's cool. So that's a great video, and so it's got a thumbs up from me and Adam and ASAP. So that's cool, and I think we go keep going down this most popular list, Adam, because this next video is one that you love. Cher Lloyd, I wish.
I'm a big Cher Lloyd fan. That's right.
Let's talk about your fanhood of Cher Lloyd. Why are you such a fan?
I'm such a fan because Cher Lloyd. I'm a fan of camera mugging.
Okay.
And Cher Lloyd is, as we've discussed on this podcast several times before, is like the champion level. Some artists bring it like on a video to video basis, but Cher Lloyd just has it's just like built into her bones. And so I wish is Cher Lloyd featuring T.I. is directed by Gil Green, and Cher Lloyd plays a waitress at a fancy kind of little bar era thing, and T.I. walks in, and the whole song is about how she wishes she was stylish. And of course, she is stylish. It's kind of a. It's not like she's like a nerdy girl or anything like that. She's just being a waitress, and everybody's kind of treating her like crap or whatever. And there's no real narrative to it. It's just kind of like an acting out of the song in a way. But the main draw is Cher Lloyd, who is kind of just like mugging her way through this video. And I love Cher Lloyd a lot, so I was glad to see this at number three.
Sweet. I was too. I think we should talk about Drake's Hold On, I'm Going Home.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Do you think Drake, Hold On, I'm Going Home, falls into the J. Cole Crooked Smile category?
Yes.
With a video that's unnecessarily heavy for the song. We have a fight between the atoms. I want to say why you don't. I want to hear why you don't think so, Adam.
I don't think so because when I heard this video, the song "Hold On." Obviously, it's a very different musical direction for Drake. It's a bit more of a, I don't want to say R&B, but it has like those elements of, sort of 80s kind of synth pop. But it sounds very like of the time. But it has, you know, those elements. So anyway, it's a very different direction for him, and it's one of those songs that I feel like you already have the video in your head. I mean, there's definitely, he could have just gone the easy route and gone and just grabbed it, you know, some random, you know, person to make this video and just made sort of a generic video. But instead they created this like weird, you know, it's set in Miami in 1985, which I think is a little too early for like Miami Vice area. It's a little bit earlier. And I actually don't know how accurate their depiction of Miami in 1985 is. I think it was a little grungier. Doug, you were being born in that.
Right. I was just coming about. But that was the kind of phones they used.
Exactly. Yeah. They bring out the phone.
Long-ass rotary phone. Yeah.
I know. They bring the whole thing out to the table. I found like a really engaging narrative. It looked like the guy's a rat. They pack a lot in there.
The guy's a rat. That is a weird twist.
I know, isn't it? It doesn't really go anywhere. It's just an excuse to kill the only white guy.
The only guy who's not ASAP. And I think there's an ASAP Ferg. I think there's an ASAP Ferg cameo briefly in there too. Is just one of the bad guys shooting.
No. He's, oh really? Is ASAP Ferg in there?
Yeah, ASAP Rocky is like the guy. He like begins the video and gives like a weird speech and but like I think it, in the firefight, there's like a big fight at the end.
But I want to say,
and I think he's one of them.
One quick thing is that you know, my parents moved to not Miami, but north of it, Coral Springs, which is a good suburb of Fort Lauderdale, in like 1993, and they were even like then like sort of scared of South Florida for like the reason like this video is depicting of it being like a violent place. So I think it's interesting. Drake has this really weird love affair with like two places, which is Miami and Toronto, which are happened to be the place I was born and the place near where I was raised. So it's, I don't know. I am interested in what he has to say about both places. And I just think it's an interesting, you know, take on it. He just went so left field with this video that I felt like it kind of went beyond the just making a different sort of narrative for a song that's of a different genre.
I don't really listen to a lot of Drake music, but when I think Drake, I thought he was this kind of like lame R&B guy. Is that not what Drake?
No, he's primarily hip hop, more rap. This is kind of a departure, the more R&B stuff. He's done it a little bit, but there's no rap in this track really.
No. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm on the side of that this might be a little bit of the J. Cole thing going on here. I think going a narrative direction at all doesn't make sense. But I think that in the case of Hold On, I'm Going Home, it could be a narrative video and I think it makes sense. I just think it's a little bit of like not the narrative I was like would have associated with the song, but they do pack a lot in. It's crazy, but I actually like think it's weirdly too much considering like to try to like take a stab at a serious narrative while your main female character is in underwear the whole time. Like it's just like this weird combination of things, and I have a trouble seeing ASAP Rocky as anyone but ASAP Rocky. No matter how many times you put him in another music video and have him try to play somebody else, he's always ASAP Rocky to me. And so whether you want him to be JFK or you want him to be whatever he plays in this video, it's still ASAP to me.
In the same sense that someone might only be able to see Drake as Degrassi. So that kind of fits in as well.
But yeah. Adam, why did you? What were your thoughts on this video?
Basically, real quick, I just feel that in the 80s sense, the song has an 80s vibe. The video has an 80s vibe. It fits in that regard. But again, like the J. Cole video, I just feel like the music doesn't quite fit with the narrative of the of the video. There's a disconnect there that didn't quite work for me. That was my biggest issue with it.
I guess it does resolve, though. I mean, hold on, we're going home, and then he takes her home. That fits. But like to hear like that song and to see like ASAP Ferg load now clips, I just don't really I'm just like, this is weird. This is kind of weird. But
why didn't they get me for the video? I mean,
no, they could. And you love Miami in 1985.
Yeah, I'm more of a like 90s, like versus like. Hold on, what am I trying to say?
You're like more of a 90s South Florida guy?
More of a 90s South Florida guy. I think we both are.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was a baby in the 80s.
Right.
Pretty much all of them.
But you're born and raised Florida. I'm a transplant.
Right. Stupid transplant. Can we talk about Skylar Grey get lucky?
Sure.
Let's do it. It's weird to me that she covered this song.
We had a little debate of whether we were going to add the site or not.
Right.
Because it's a little odd. I mean, it is a commercial for Nissan, essentially, but it is 100%. Skylar Grey covering Daft Punk's Get Lucky.
And it's the whole song.
It is the whole song. It is They Don't Half-Ass It. And it's directed by Mr. Declan Whiteblum, who we have had on this podcast before.
That's true.
Mr. Declan Whiteblum has directed a lot of really fantastic videos for like One Direction, Taylor Swift, Owl City, David Archuleta. So he's a really kind of big league director. And we're fans of his work, and he's really great. You should go listen to that episode. I'll actually write it down.
I think this video works though. I enjoyed watching this video, and I think it works for Skylar Grey. I think she's good in it too, despite it being completely a Nissan commercial. But there's going to be a string of these now. I'm pretty sure because they in the Vivo description, it says the first of the new Vivo original series Nissan tracks. So I think this is going to fall into the category of, you remember when Converse was doing a bunch of music videos and they were like putting artists together and having them like record a song together. Daniels directed one of those videos that had like Kimbra and Mark Foster and A-Track. I think it's going to be like that. I think we're going to see more of these. So we got that to look forward to. High budget Nissan commercial music videos.
There we go.
I also noticed that the new Banks video, this is what it feels like. It seemed to have some kind of, I don't know that it was a commercial, but there was a sponsored by some hair product at the right at the end of the video, and I can't remember the brand, but
I think it's L'Oreal
L'Oreal. That's what it was.
Did they say at the end?
Yeah, it said made possible by L'Oreal, and it had their logo and everything. So
yeah, it was interesting. I guess this is as good a time as any to transition over to that video, because that's a great video, came out today. But yeah, that was interesting. I mean, it's not uncommon to see product placements in music videos. One of the most popular music videos this week, the Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo, Marry Me by Hannah Lux Davis had several product placements.
Oh, so many product placements. I wrote the article on the video, so let me just detail them from my memory here. There's this milky coconut water kind of thing that they have, like a Jordan Sparks like covers Jason Derulo and Flower, and they both like drink this thing. But the one that got me, and actually let me load up the video right here, because the whole Marry Me video is based around what you might expect, matrimony. But Jason Derulo is actually shopping for wedding rings in the beginning, and the wedding ring place is a sponsor, and it's not Jared's. It's this place called Michael C. Fina. And Jason Derulo is in like Michael C. Fina. You never see anybody from Michael C. Fina. He's like shopping on an iPad for rings, like in the middle of the store. So there's so many of these in this video, and Hannah Lux Davis is very experienced in fitting these in. She does a great job of fitting them in so they feel natural, but once you know how to spot them in a lot of videos, you'll drive yourself crazy.
So I think all it was like a title card at the end of the video. I didn't see anything in the actual music video. Speaking about the Banks video now, that like, and it was a product placement within the video. So I don't know if it was something that came afterwards, or if
it could have been like a hair care product or something, though. Like a hair care commercial, they'd have like, you know, the awesome looking hair, and then it's turns out to be a hair care. That's if true. If L'Oreal makes hair care products, I'm not sure.
Really know.
They definitely do.
Right. I didn't know that.
Speaking to the product placement too, though, I don't know if this is something you guys have talked about, but I've been seeing those Drape Hill, little portable Drape Hills. They're in every second video now.
Can I just say that things
popping up?
I'm pretty sure that the only person who owns those things are people who make music videos. I don't think anybody else in the world owns one of those Drape Hill speakers. I think their only purpose is to put on naked girls' backs in the Blurred Line video.
Well, and I think one of their most famous placement, and I think might be a product placement that becomes sort of part of a video in a larger sense, is the beginning of, you know, We Can't Stop, where she has the white pill thing and she turns it up and the music turns up.
Yeah. There's a really good product placement in the most recent Avril Lavigne video directed by Chris Mars Pilero.
Waterproof phone, yeah.
Yeah, it's like so funny that they just did it like – they do it so intentionally and over the top that like it's hard to know what I'd rather. If I'd rather like the way that it happened in the Banks video where it just comes up at the screen at the end and it doesn't impede in the actual music video at all, but then suddenly I'm like, oh, commercial. or if it's like so just like stapled on to the front of the video intentionally, like so crudely that it's like, oh, this is funny now. Like I can't determine which one I like better, but I think you can't fight them because you got to pay for music videos somehow. And I think, you know, putting a Dre Beats pill thing seems like a good way to do it.
All I know is I still don't want a pill. So that's maybe not working.
I'll take the one from the Blurred Lines video. If you could just give me that one.
It was in 23. Did you guys catch it in 23?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did right at the beginning there.
The pink one. Yeah.
Did you guys also catch, there's like some Michael Jordan stuff in that video.
Yeah, well, 23 is Michael Jordan's. Okay, I just got that. All right.
Yeah, the whole song is like with my Michael Jordan shoes on that I bought at Macy's. Like, it's the whole song is a commercial for Michael Jordan stuff.
We should check that on the site. Product placements.
That'd be great. Let's start doing that.
Just with Amazon, and be like,
yeah, yes,
buy now.
Yeah, yeah, buy this. We'd have about 100 links to the Dre pill thing.
Whatever. I'm down for that. So can we talk about the actual Banks video, the video itself, instead of just the commercial?
I'd rather talk about the silky smooth hair I get from L'Oreal hair products.
Please buy it from our link.
You were going nuts over this video today, Doug. So why don't you say something?
Actually, no. I think we should let Adam talk about it. But real quick, what do you think about putting a big buy now Amazon link on the homepage?
Shots fired.
So Adam, what do you think? Why don't you talk a little bit about this Banks video? Because you have your first blog post on the blog coming out tomorrow, and you talk about this video in that post.
Yeah, it's a great video. Banks is kind of an up-and-coming artist that she just kind of popped up at some point this year, and she's had a series of really outstanding music videos. And her music and voice are outstanding as well. So this video here, it's interesting to note, was the first of her videos that was shot in full color. And that kind of was interesting in its own way because it added something to the video. Whereas, you know, every other video is in color and it's just something we're used to. But having like three or four black and white ones and then a color one was actually kind of a cool thing. And also in addition to that, video is really awesome. The use of colors and just the different different ways that the director chose to shot the video. The director was Ellis Ball. It's kind of a storm going on outside and just a really ominous feeling to it. And it's quite quite a sexual kind of a video. All of hers are, and she's actually very beautiful too. So it's like instantly appealing to anyone that likes beautiful women and good music. So yeah, totally. Definitely check that one out.
Which is an incredibly small section of the whole population.
who likes that stuff? Banks is. I think I described her in the blog post we wrote about this video as impossibly beautiful. That's what we describe her as. Me and Adam, when we chat on Facebook chat, we go back and forth, and we call Banks impossibly beautiful because she really is. She is. What do you think about her ASAP?
Oh, I agree. I mean, you all know that I'm partial to Miss Cher Lloyd, for some reason. But I also enjoy Banks, and yeah, it's weird seeing someone, because I watched every video as they come out, and I'll be like, oh shit, is this one in black and white too? And this being in color, and you know, if you've been listening, Alice Ball, the director, has he been on the podcast then?
Yes.
Yes, he has been on the podcast. We'll link
him. We're going to listen to that one.
Yeah, we got him at a really interesting time after his video for Breeze Blocks by Alt-J came out and was, you know, really blowing up. That's a really fantastic video that
definitely,
you know, we you know, went to South by Southwest. It showed there, and it was really a standout there. And you can see kind of shades of that. Ellis is really fantastic at creating that kind of atmosphere, and I think he's even better now than he was at the part where he, you know, the point where he's doing the Alt-J Breeze Blocks video. But you know, there's you know, it's an interesting choice to, you know, have that, you know, the thunderstorm outside and you know, make the decisions that he does. So yeah, I love this video.
Yeah, it was great. Another great video of Ellis's where that, like, this creating an atmosphere like you were talking about. Another great one to go to is one he just put out recently by Josh Record called The War. So if you want to watch another music video, that one is one to watch.
And if anybody's thinking, oh man, Adam doesn't even remember if Ellis was on the podcast, he must not care. That's Doug remembers everyone's name. And my mind goes blank on everything. That's how the site works, really.
And because we've interviewed Ellis a couple of times, and so he's also been on the blog more recently. Mm-hmm. So that's also why. I don't know. There are other videos.
Yeah, I wanted to briefly just mention. Our previous interview on this podcast, Shane Drake, we were just talking to him a few weeks ago about his work in country music. And that's a genre that we don't really talk a lot about the podcast. But you know, a lot of, he makes a great point in that country is a separate genre, but it's like a whole separate like industry in a way. Mm-hmm. Like he has, you know, a representation for basically everything else, and then a representation for country music videos, which I think is really interesting. And he just recently released one this week, "The Heart of Dixie" by Danielle Bradbury, who's an artist that I was not familiar with, and it's really good. It is reminiscent a little bit of his. You can definitely see the Shane Drake style, especially when compared to his other country music videos, but. We were just talking about that, so I thought it was interesting that one of those came out this week.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to live inside a country music video. They just seem like really great places. Simple stuff and like.
Well, the best thing about country music to me, and like since I've lived in North Carolina, I've definitely listened to a lot more country, or been exposed to a lot more country music, and it's just the specificity of country music to me is just mind boggling. Like you'll turn on like any like rock song and it's very, you know, non-explicit or what's going on. But then you turn on a country music video or a country song and they're talking about being like on a back porch on a Friday night drinking beer and stuff. And it's just like very, it's like, hey, these are all the things that we like. This is a song about it.
Let's list them in this song.
And that's not looking down on country music at all. I love it, but it's, yeah. it's just something very unique to that genre.
You do love it. You know what else you love? You love "Breathless" by Small Black.
Because I picked that one.
Well, yeah, because it's a great video.
Wait, hold on. We're going to our picks too. Of the week, because that was going to be our pick of the week.
Oh yeah, we do that. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that now. What was your favorite video this week, Adam? ASAP?
Well, people are probably tired of hearing me talking, but I'll talk about Breathless, my favorite video of the week by Small Black, and that was directed by Nick Bentkin. And this music video was really interesting. There's no real like linear narrative through all these little moments, but they're just like little snippets of moments here and there. Like for instance, one of them is a shot from the front seat of a car into the back seat, and this young girl, maybe around like 20, 21, is like looking at you. Or you know, this girl who looks a little bit younger, I don't know, like 18 or whatever, is like standing on a cliff, like about to jump in the water. And it's really difficult to describe. You definitely just have to go watch the video. But it's this really interesting assortment, this like collection of very like small moments, and each one, I think it's really interesting when music videos do this, that it kind of shows an image, but it suggests so much more than the image just by how it's composed and who's in it and the acting in it. So this one was like every single shot just seemed to kind of suggest something. So, you know, it's only a 3 minute and 47 minute second video, but it goes by so quick. And, that was my favorite video of the week. It was still popular. It managed like 140,000 views, despite just coming out on Wednesday. So it wasn't, you know, like totally. It's not gonna make the top 10, but it wasn't like totally at the bottom either.
Well, yeah, I have something to add to that video, actually.
Oh, go
one,
for it.
One thought that crossed my mind when I watched it that might be a theme, or maybe not. I'm not a parent of a teenage kid, but I was thinking. The common thread in every scene in the video was that a parent would probably not want their child doing that. Almost every single scene was like a kid like skateboarding on a ramp or, you know, standing on a cliff. If you rewatch it, you might see what I mean, but it seemed like a parent's worst nightmare might be the common theme.
That is true, because everybody in the video is teenaged. Well, I would say like 18 to like 26-ish.
So it's definitely younger. I think there's some younger ones in there.
Yeah, probably, there is. Yeah. I think the range is even wider than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And yeah, what I really like about this video too is like it seems really natural and like everyone in this video, like nothing seems coached or anything like that. It just, all these moments seem really natural. Like the filmmakers were kind of just around for extended periods of time to capture these moments. And so I did. I enjoyed that about this video too. I already know the answer to this, but other Adam, what's your favorite video this week?
Mine was the John Hopkins track "Breathe This Air," the video for that directed by Anthony Dickinson. This version had some vocals added to it by Purity Ring, which is a really great Canadian electronic act. And it's
Purity
a
Ring is Canadian?
Yeah, they are Canadian for sure. Yeah. Just a great video overall. It's just shot really well, and I'm not going to talk in detail about my thoughts on the narrative, but if you want to read my blog post tomorrow, you'll be able to see what I thought about what it might all mean, because it seems to have some kind of a deeper meaning to it. But yeah, that was definitely my favorite of the week.
This is one of those narratives where there's something definitely going on, and it is definitely left up to, I think, our interpretation. So we'll link to that in the show notes, your interpretation of this.
Yeah, look out for that. I'm super excited, and that's going to be an ongoing thing every Friday. Adam's gonna do a top five fringe music videos. What's a working title? But it's going to be great, and it's going to come out tomorrow, and I'm super excited about it. As is ASAP, and as should you be. I have a problem,
featuring
guys.
Spell check.
Yeah, oh, I got it. We got it. You'll only have as many spelling mistakes as we do. So
that is awesome, because as readers of the blog may realize, we do like just by the numbers, like the top 10 of the week. But I think it's going to be really awesome to have a top, you know, is it top 5 or top 10, Adam?
It's going to be a top 5. And it focuses on more indie side videos. You know, they still may be popular, but they're not going to, it's not going to be anything from that top 10 list that we provide.
Maybe not. It could potentially happen.
Once in a while.
If we get some Lord in the top 10, I will have to talk about that.
That's
which
cool.
could happen.
I find that whenever Purity Ring is involved, I'm sure they have nothing to do with it because they're just featured on this track, but they have a lot of like open to interpretation things. Remember Loft the Cries by Eiji Rojas?
Yeah.
That was one that was definitely very like, abstract. That reminded me of that one.
So I have a problem, guys. We already talked about what I think is probably my favorite video of the week.
Which one is that?
I forgot we do this. It might be the Banks video, I think. It's probably the Banks video.
That's not too fresh in your mind. Just came out a few hours ago.
Yeah, I know, but it was
awesome though.
What about the animated 2 Chainz?
What about animated videos in general this week? It was a crazy week for animated videos, including the 2 Chainz.
The 2 Chainz one was insane. That music video was insane. Directed by Colin Chilly for Hijack. That came out. That technically premiered last week on World Star Hip Hop, but we finally got it this week. And so we can quickly mention that. That video is insane. But 2 Chainz, like, 2 Chainz as, like, a mad scientist? Like, that's incredible. That's incredible. And his verse is so nuts. Like I, for a while, didn't understand the appeal of 2 Chainz. And then you listen to it from a different perspective. And then suddenly it's, like, the greatest thing you can hear. I find myself, like, rewinding his verse. It was so just mind-blowingly nuts.
I feel like, to me, 2 Chainz is like a guy that you like maybe you don't want to like hang out with him on your own, but if you're at a party, you're glad when he shows up. You're like, hey, it's 2 Chainz. Like, there we go. It's like, this will be fun at least, but you don't want to, you're not going to go out and like,
hey, grab a lunch.
You're not going to grab lunch with him, yeah.
No, but you're glad he's at a party. I think that's a great description of 2 Chainz. And a 2 Chainz verse, too. I wouldn't want to take a 2 Chainz verse to lunch. Another great animated video this week, it was a staff pick video, is Sleepwalk With Me by Young Galaxy. Did you guys watch this one?
Yeah, fantastic. Really good.
Yeah, I read somewhere that it's based on the true story of two World War II soldiers, but kind of, I don't know what that story is, but I guess it's the story of this music video. But the kind of the concept of this video is kind of there's like a man in middle of the frame, and like the scenery and his clothing and stuff and starts change, and he becomes part of the scenery and stuff. But like his silhouette maintains in every scene. I don't know if I'm doing a good job of describing this video, but it's good. You should watch it so you see it.
Excellent job, Doug.
Thanks. Thanks for the confidence.
A couple other animated videos we should quickly mention. The Martina Topley Bird cover of XX's Crystallize. That's another one that definitely should be seen. It has features Mark Lanegan doing the male vocal. And it's awesome. I don't know if you guys have seen that one yet, but definitely look that one up. And also C2C's Delta was really good as well.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a strong week for animated videos. I love animation, so...
That's nice. That Delta one was really good. That was Vimeo staff picked this week as well.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
So that's how you know it's good. They staff pick good videos. We do too.
No. So if we want to jam in a few more,
jam in
at the end here. Did you guys see Guest List by Dina?
Yeah. Just yes, that's. If we're going to jam anything in, it's Dina's and by Guest List by Dina.
So just a little background for anybody. Dina is it's spelled all capital letters, D-E-N-A, is a hip-hop lady in the style of M.I.A., and she even looks a little bit like her and has a very similar style. She's from Bulgaria, so she's representing Eastern Russia here, or Eastern Europe, sorry. And she first appeared, I mean, I did not know about her before this video. Apparently, she kind of busted onto the scenes with a video called Cash Diamond Rings Swimming Pools, which is another really ridiculous, fantastic video. That is sort of similar to this, but in this one, there's, you know, Dina, of course, and it's a ridiculous song, but then there's sort of, like, shots of people going into a, like, what I interpreted to be a prom. Did you guys interpret that to be a prom?
Definitely.
And it's an Eastern, and I was struck at how that scene would have been very at home in, like, any city in the or anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, the prom scenes?
The prom scenes, yeah.
Yeah. This video is insane. And this song is even crazier. Can you do an impression of this chorus? Come on, hit me with it.
I can't do the chorus, but there's this part where you think like it's kind of going normal, and then one of like the callbacks in the chorus is her going really close to the mic. It's not, there's no like reverb on it. It's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah. It's like, welcome to the club. Are you on the guest list? I don't think I am.
Get the fuck out.
It's just like a whole conversation for the chorus. It's such a good song. Let's jam in some great ones, too. I really like the Lamar and Nick video this week for Bike Peep Shelly and Athens Recollection. I also like the Charlie XCX Super Love video. Mm-hmm. And I also love this video where I don't know how to say the name of the band, but Ian Pons Jules directed it, and the song is called Another. Do you guys know how to say the name of that group? CK,
yeah.
CK. This is a crazy video, too. This was in the running. This was my favorite video all week until that Banks video and her luscious shoulders came out, and I couldn't turn it down. But that CK video is also, it's pretty twisted. And Ian Pons-Jules is a really great director. He's been kind of on a roll this year with some great videos. Check him out.
We should write a little note and say, Ian, you've been on a roll.
We'll tell him. We'll tweet him.
Love Doug at the IMVDB.
Love Diggy.
Adam, you have anything you want to get? Any other videos you think deserve a little love?
Maybe Fools Out of the Woods was really great. Started off as kind of a typical, you know, kind of a girl recovering from probably a night out on the town or something. But then the very end of the video has a nice little twist to it that I thought really, really amped it up a few. Did you guys see this one?
That was kind of a twisted twist, right? I think I saw that one. And it was I couldn't find a director though, which I was sad about. So help us out.
Those issues where director is not listed.
Not listed on anywhere on the planet. I couldn't find it. Maybe I can now. But it just came out of thin air. That music video just appeared.
Another one that I just want to list, one that I refuse to watch, and that is Ugliest Son by Diarrhea Planet, which is the worst name for a band. It's the worst / best / worst again name for a band ever.
Yeah, that is the worst. There's a lot of great videos. There's never time to talk about them all. So what you should do is go to imvdb.com/pics, where we list all of the ones we like there. We list them all. They're all listed. They have a little check mark so you know that we like them. And, you know, if you go there, you might come across Teeny Tempa, Children of the Sun, directed by John Agostavo, which is a video that was great, and it came out this week, but we didn't have time to talk about it on this podcast.
And, you know, we pick things that, a lot of them are stuff that Doug sees that he likes, but anybody who is adding videos, from our good friends at Fringe Music Fix to any of the moderators / contributors who bring it all in. So it's not just videos Doug likes. You can call him up on the phone and get those. But it's a collective.
People do call me for those. I can call for them. What music videos do you like? It's a weird phone call to get. Call me on my landline.
Yeah, we'll have Doug's phone number, his landline number in this podcast. Yeah. In the show notes.
Is it like a long-ass rotary phone landline?
It is. And when somebody calls me, some man has to come and give it to me and interrupt ASAP Rocky's speech, which is weird. That twist was
sitting out by the pool and just chilling.
Right, exactly.
The butler brings the phone out to you.
This better be important, Jeeves.
Doug, where you are, it has a pool, though. Don't lie.
We own a pool. That's true.
As you know, South Florida houses.
And dial-up internet.
Exactly. Dial-up internet, too.
At the end, we should just mention a few little things. We need you to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/IMVDB, as well as facebook.com/IMVDB. Hold on a second.
No, another thing we need to say is you need to explain why that stupid twist was in that Drake video with the guy who was the snitch. It didn't have anything to do with anything.
I think it was a time filler in a way.
Yeah, I think it was a racist thing.
And then where can people go to find Fringe Music Fix?
They can go to fringemusicfix.com. That will redirect to the main Facebook page, and from there we link to all of our other millions of social network type profiles.
And you guys have been doing something like every day. You've been creating playlists of like a recap of the day in music videos, which have been awesome.
Yeah, basically just whatever we've shared that day, I've been throwing into an IMVDB playlist, mainly for myself to watch and if anyone else wants to. It's my catch-up.
Nice. We'll check those out.
It's a good way to catch up. They're good.
It is. I enjoy that we you know, one of the playlists is something that took a crap load of work to get up and running, and now we're just kind of letting it ride. And it's good. Nothing else... you know, we can't do the full screen from video to video because the APIs don't let us do that. But it does go video to video.
Yeah, and you can make up your own playlist. We encourage people to get down on it. We get really excited when people make playlists, and we look at them. Not the private. We don't look at the private ones.
No, definitely not. You can make private playlists. I forgot to mention that. So I think that's it for this week. This is a very full week of music videos. Again, a lot of Miley Cyrus.
Real quick, we'll squeeze it in because it was half-assed. The director's cut of Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball came out this week as well. The entire video is a close-up of her face. Which is the opening 30 seconds of the actual Wrecking Ball music video. Close-up of her face, followed by some kind of like behind-the-scenes style stuff with her and Terry Richardson, where she tries on his glasses and stuff like that. That came out this week. Super popular.
I liked it.
I mean...
My only issue is that... Is this really the director's cut? When I hear director's cut, I feel like this is what the director would have liked the video to have been if it were all up to him. And right. That's really what Terry Richardson would want? Just her face?
No.
I don't know.
Why would he? Because then why would he like shoot anything else?
Exactly.
No, I don't think so. But it is being billed as like Terry Richardson's director's cut. I've seen it referred to as that. In things.
And then he literally cut everything else.
Right. It's just the whole video. It's just that one shot. That same shot the whole time. Which, hey, she remembered all the lyrics for it. So it was...
I think it's the Hannah Montana friendly cut.
I don't know what it was. I think the point of it is to be like... Because of how risque the original one is, and people are like, see director's cut, it's like, oh, maybe I'll see some titty. And then it's, and then it's just being her nothing. Face, and all you see is like saliva, teeth, and tongue.
Well, did you guys hear about at Grand Valley State, the people, they have like a ball statue, and they had to remove it?
I actually heard it was Michigan.
No, I think it was Grand Valley State. And I only remember this because one of our good friends here in Durham, they're sisters who graduated from Grand Valley State, which is also the place where our current Notre Dame football coach got his career started. So I collect information in my head from about Grand Valley State, and I'm pretty sure this is it.
Okay, I believe that. I did hear that. That people were taking naked Miley pictures, style Miley pictures.
Right. But
where?
You're right, Adam. At this like big ball like statue, they had to remove because it was causing problems. But you're right. I always think of the director's cut as being like either a longer version or just a more artistic version. But this seemed to be like the Terry Richardson branded version.
Right.
You know, it's like you can buy, you used to be able to buy like the iPods, or you could buy like the iPod Red. You know, the branded version, and you can show it off and be like, I got the red version, you know, look at me. This is like, because it's not just the one shot, but like you mentioned, Doug, Terry Richardson's signature is like the glasses and stuff like that he's got, and his rapport with the, you know, for better or worse, with the people in his video, so, and his photographs, so that's all on display at the end. It's like this is the Terry Richardson personality cut.
Right, because he is in the video, so maybe that's why it's being called that. But I do think at the end of the day that it's like a joke, that it's like a joke on what director's cuts are. Maybe not a joke.
It's a spoof and a goof.
It's a goof. They're goofing it. They're goofing.
Oh man.
Well, I think that's a good place. That's a good place to bring it in.
That's right. Well, as always, we end our podcast with another awful cover of Blurred Lines. Take it away.
Bobby, get up!
Cool.
Oh, man. That was good.
That was a fun one.
If you can't hear what I'm trying to say, if you can't you get past